actual non-COVID measure everywhere in our building, meaning something.
Well, it's certainly different from last week.
Yeah.
Well, I guess first thing, since it's different now, how do we know we won't be back in the situation in, say, 6 months?
We don't.
Well, does anyone find, like, I mean, obviously you spend time in the BC legislature.
Yeah.
Does anyone find that all, for example, your definition of a, your World Health Organization definition of a death is, a COVID death is a death resulting from a clinically compatible illness in a probable or confirmed case?
Yeah.
Does nobody find that at all vague?
Yeah, I mean, welcome to the world of trying to get to the root of things to do with COVID, right? I mean,
I mean, something like that is so vague, it's meaningless.
Yeah, and there's been, you know, people die from COVID and people die with COVID.
Which is another thing.
And that phrasing comes up, right? So, you know, when people are in their 80s, yeah. 90s, maybe that's more prevalent of a case in terms of it's the final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I don't know that we'll ever see a full accounting or a way of it. You know, I just saw today there was a fairly scathing report out or leaked documents about the initial panic around PPE and things of that nature. So
yeah, I mean, look, if I cross the street, if I leave here and cross the street and get hit by a semi, but you find out afterwards I've got cancer, did I die of cancer?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, I think everyone, honestly, I don't think there was some grand governmental scheme to control or I think everyone was doing the best they could do with the information they felt they had. You know, I do think provincially, I think the government used the cover of COVID quite successfully to implement a whole lot of ideological changes to how government works.
Oh, more than a few.
Yeah. And I think they've built a structural deficit now based on that without anything to do with COVID. You know, that all has to get drawn out over the coming months. And hopefully there's more attention paid by the public and the media now that COVID's not the number one story on the news every single day.
Yes, now we've moved on to the Russian PSYOP. But yeah, since this thing is, I guess, over, more or less, it's like, my concern is, come September, October, November, it's like, will Bonnie flip the switch and guys shut the province down again?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a huge issue with what most of her orders were. I think there was a little more politicizing of some of the decisions than has been let on. My bigger fault has been with how the government dealt with government issues. So, case in point, you know, she brings in another closure, what was that, January or whatever it was, or right before Christmas, brings in a new round of measures and closures. Directly impacts a whack of people, and there's the response from the government is, well, we're thinking about, we're monitoring, well no, where was the government, if you've recognized for 2 years that government programs need to be enacted when these measures get put in, where was the government response to any of that?
She kept her winery open.
Yeah.
In Carameos.
Yeah, I don't think she was doing everything based on solely her winery, but it's not the highest volume winery in the world.
Last March, there was a loophole put in for that little shutdown. Winery's still allowed tasting.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't agree with everything. I was confused as everyone else with some of the logic on things. But I think at its core, I think the fundamental decision-making was of a place of, I mean, yeah, I think people in public health, generally speaking, have decided to make this their life's work or their passion in life. They don't go into it thinking, how can I, now's my chance to finally crack down on everybody.
And not Dr. Evil.
Yeah, but, you know, that doesn't mean I agree with everything all the time. But I've tried very hard over these 2 years to focus in more on what the actual government side of the equation has been, and there's where I feel they've dropped the ball, and they very much have done a lot of things knowing that people weren't paying attention. I'll give you a prime example. So last year, supposed to be $9.5 billion deficit. Everyone said, oh, it's COVID. I said, well, hang on. Okay, you've got $3 billion less in revenue coming in because of COVID than you originally thought you were going to have this year. Okay, that makes sense for $3 billion of the deficit. You got about $3.5 billion earmarked for COVID spending that you weren't counting on. So there's $6.5 billion to the negative. I get that. Where's the other three?
Three and a half.
Okay. Like if you're at $9.5 billion and you have three less in revenue and three and a half more in expenditures directly because of COVID, why are you at 9.5?
Someone slush fund.
But no, but because they've built a social cultural deficit already, right? They've hired 120,000 new public sector employees. Well, we have 8,000 less in healthcare at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
And as for these vaccine mandates, and let's be completely honest, this stuff is experimental. You put it out in 6 months, you have no idea the long-term effects. What happens when, say, 5 years from now, and a ton of people, because they're, you know, these things, stuff wasn't properly tested, what exactly happens with them?
Well, I guess it would be like just about any other historical pharmaceutical thing that went awry. I personally don't have those fears, but you never know.
But when you put something out and say 6 months of testing, indemnify the manufacturers, they actually don't have any incentive to be careful about it because they're shielded from lawsuits.
Yeah.
It's like, say we find out 5, 6, 7 years, oh, there's a lot of long-term, whatever, organ failures, cancers, whatever, that we didn't know before because we didn't actually have any long-term testing.
Yeah, I guess the flip side to that would be what's going to be the 5, 6 year look of people's organs and things that had COVID and weren't vaccinated, whether they died or not, if they lived. Right, you're hearing it already of the ramifications of foggy brain and different impact to your organs and it triggering other underlying issues that have flared up worse than they were pre-COVID and everything else. So, I mean, the reality is COVID was there. So,
well,
and it wasn't good. And well, it has impacts on people.
Well, breaking these passports, like, to be blunt, is it's coercion. It's you can't,
yeah.
No, we're not going to put a gun to your head and make you take it, but we're going to shut you out of society indefinitely until you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think a lot of people would consider that coercion.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I know there's been the odd challenge to them or attempt to challenge and things of that nature. So, again, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, 90-some% in BC are vaccinated to the point that they would qualify for the passport. So, you start getting to smaller and smaller numbers. You do question, again, does it make sense that the server can be unvaccinated, but I have to be? Does it make sense that right now churches can be fully intermingled in full capacity and I still couldn't go to a restaurant if I'm not vaccinated until April 8th? That's a magic date.
Does it matter that 11:45 is unsafe, but 12:01 I'm safe?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, that, I guess I don't know. I mean, at the bottom line is at a certain point there needs to be times on these orders so that they actually are in effect or not. We've pressed nonstop for the data and the science behind it, and there's been repeated reference or indications from public health officials that indeed some of this is also an exercise in human response management versus actual data to things, right? So like you say, we're passports and things like that, we're very much driven to try to get people vaccinated, right? And they did. Arguably they did. A lot of people suddenly got vaccinated when they couldn't go to a bar, right?
A bar, a restaurant, a casino, sport event, sporting event.
Yeah.
Was religion services in this province, I forget, but it was more than just, say, going to a bar. There's a lot you were shut out from.
Yeah, but it wasn't, but their out was, it wasn't retail and it wasn't groceries. Right, so your necessities of life you could access, right? It wasn't coming to this office to access government services. It wasn't, you know, so that was the flip side to it, right? Are you restricted in some of your things? Yes, you are. Am I restricted if I'm under 19 to do anything I want? Yes, I am already. Am I restricted if I'm over 19 on how I act or do things? Yes, I am. If you want to look at it that way, right? You don't go walking in without a shirt on and expect to get served in a restaurant or shoes or, I don't take my dog in at will. I don't do a whole bunch of things, right? So, frankly, I don't have a whole lot of angst over the fact that people weren't able to access a restaurant because they chose to exercise their ability to not get vaccinated. The grayer area would be more around the employment side of the equation. That starts to get a lot more difficult and tricky to navigate, but the whole my freedom has been squashed because I can't go and sit in a pub or a restaurant or a casino. I don't have a whole lot of.
Were any of these, and I'll be kind of blunt here, were any of these organizations bribed into doing the vaccine passport or the masks? Because I know virtually everyone under the sun got CEWS, the wage subsidy, a ton of them got the rental subsidies, and they're suddenly all on board with the masks and the vaccines. Like, were these, you get your subsidies, but you have to impose
it? I would have no idea. I'm not in government.
But you're still.
Well, what, they're going to come to me and say, hey, by the way, we're going to bribe people, but just want to let you guys in opposition know before we go do it? You think that's what a government would do? Seriously?
I mean, you presumably have the same access to the same documents.
No. I have to FOI everything, just like you. And if it comes back that I worded something wrong, I get no documents found. I get access to no government documents.
None of the bills, none of the orders that they pass, you have to FOI everything?
Well, the bills I see at the same time you see it. They don't show it to us ahead of time. They show it to us when it gets introduced into the legislature. When the minister stands up to introduce a bill, that's when we see it. When they sign an order in council, we see it if we happen to check the website for updates to see when they're posted on the website. They don't tell us they've posted anything. They don't notify us.
In your various FOIs, I'm curious, I don't suppose you got anything juicy you could share?
Nope.
something in particular I was curious about, government advertising in the media, like say newspapers, radios, like it's everywhere. You can't turn on a radio station without the BC government, get your pediatric vaccine, blah, blah, blah. You can't go on YouTube without that.
Yeah.
Thanks, like, across. It's like, how much money's been spent on these ads?
I don't know. And so we're in budget estimates now, and that's our opportunity to ask more breakdown line items in the budget. So if you look at it right now, if you looked at the budget, again, I get the same budget documents you do. I get them at the same time everyone else gets them. You have to kind of sleuth through it yourself, and then I at least will get a chance to question the finance minister for several hours, and I can ask questions like, well, how much in your budget is for government communications? How much is that was for COVID-related advertising versus other advertising and stuff like that? But that's pretty much our only opportunity to ask those types of questions. And then when you start FOI, and the problem is when you FOI something like that, if you don't FOI every single, and they've just made FOI way harder, if you don't FOI every single department with the right phrasing and how each department.
Well, I've done more than a few.
Yeah, right? So, you know, we'll get an idea, but we won't get the full.
Most of mine get ignored.
Yeah. So we're in the same boat, right? Now, you know, back to your question, I wouldn't say it was a bribe. I would say that I think restaurants saw that this was a way for them to reasonably stay open at a time when they're struggling to not lose everything. And so of course you're gonna agree to it, because you're like, so if I just scan, I can actually still have people in my restaurant and I can stay in business. The alternative is that I have to close under a public health order. Which are you gonna take as a business owner?
So stay open if you do the vax passport, okay.
Right, they've taken on 225, on average, a small business in BC has taken on $225,000 worth of debt. Now, that doesn't sound like much if you think of a mortgage, but business debt's not amortized over 30 years. You're lucky if a bank will give you 5 years on it. So that 225 is probably another $7,000 to $8,000 a month in borrowing costs to a small business. Like it's a massive cost compared to what a homeowner would face, right? And $225,000 mortgage would be about $1,000 a month.
Pretty cheap for here.
Right? No, I mean, but I mean, if you think of that as a business owner, you go, okay, so they got to come up with an extra $1,000 a month, not the end of the world, right? If you think of it, they got to come up with $6,000 to $7,000 a month for the same dollar figure that they borrowed. Suddenly you go, oh, that's a pretty big hit to a small business to find out of their bottom line. Right.
You said there was no grand conspiracy. I'm curious because every single province brought in the vaccine passport within about a 4 or 5 week span of each other.
Yeah.
From about mid-September to late October, everyone did.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference.
It sounds kind of.
Well, there's a difference between conspiracy and conversation. And when you have, you know, a national public health crisis and everyone is talking with each other and all the public health officers are talking with each other and the public is talking about this, to think that they weren't discussing what they're each planning on doing and then saying to each other, well, if you're going to go next month, we might as well get ours out by next month too, because the number one thing that gets asked, right? Well, how are people from Alberta going to come to BC if ours is still in place and theirs is gone? That got asked again, right? Right when these latest changes happened. So of course provinces are talking to each other. That's different than conspiracy of, you know, everything's running really well right now. How can we actually lay the boots to people?
You know, the funny thing is in 2020, vaccine passports were just some idiot conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That turned out to be 100% accurate.
Yeah. Well, you make enough guesses and you're bound to be right on some things. But if you look at how they were used, if you look at the evolution of vaccines, if you look at the fact that people needed multiple vaccines to even be reasonably protected, it's not really a surprise that that kept shifting. Look at the take. We were the last jurisdiction to endorse masks, and then we were the last jurisdiction to remove them.
So why did Bonnie, this is I think November 2020, why did?
She'll tell you the science changed. There was more data, there was more research, there was more everything. So again, I'm not her, and I have no insight. So do I get frustrated and constantly deal with people that can't understand the weird why this but not that? Yeah, and I myself find myself going, well, why this and not that? Well, but
science changes. It's interesting because there's a rumor that the BC Retail Association leaned on her for that order. They had trouble enforcing it because nobody was doing it. Apparently they went to her and said, hey, Bonnie.
And they very well may have, I don't know.
So she caved under pressure?
No, but again, so there was a rumor, there was discussion. Well, there was public discussion in the media, and there was coverage of people freaking out and stores having to have to hire security guards and this and that and the other. So the fact it became an order versus a recommendation with what was going on in practice out in the public doesn't mean it was anything nefarious other than just trying to keep some sanity to the situation and try to give retail operators a little bit of backup to what they were publicly asking for. So the rumor that they were asking for it isn't much of a rumor, because they were in the media saying it would be much simpler for us if this was an order. So again, like I think on all sides there's just been too much trying to find some smoking gun of some great plot line that just doesn't exist. I think it's just a bunch of people trying to weather things, and there's a whole lot of stress pressures on the background, on the backside, from organizations and business owners and workers and unions and you name it, all across purposes, trying to figure out a way forward, and something no one's ever had to deal with travel shut down and border crossing issues and you name it.
Yeah. Well, there was one other thing I was trying to find. You might have access to health FOIs, I don't know. I was actually curious, could you find any record that this virus actually exists? And then, not those little computer CGI models, but like actual proof that's ever been isolated.
Well, we haven't asked for the genetic breakdown of the testing they're doing, but I'm going to take, you know, pretty much a global. You could not get four people in Kamloops to hold together long enough to keep a bloody conspiracy theory going, let alone a worldwide amalgamation of scientists and doctors and politicians of all political stripe.
If there was enough money involved in it.
It was politicians from every political stripe around the world.
Which is kind of weird.
So you tell me the Illuminati has that type of reach. Like, come on.
Who said anything about the Illuminati?
I'm just saying. Bottom line is, I get it. I get that it was not. And I hope that we're through it. I get that it wasn't an easy time for people. It wasn't easy time for people that tend to gravitate to social isolation. This made that much simpler, and God only knows what the ramifications of that will be long term, with kids and how they've learned to socialize or not socialize over the last couple of years. My daughter was just talking to her university swim coach, and he was asking her for tips on what they should do for team building things and stuff like that, because his last 2 years worth of athletes coming out of high school, they don't act like university kids.
What do they act like?
Like they don't actively go out and try to find a party or this. And he goes, you know, on the one hand, as a coach, I'm kind of happy that they're not that, but on the other hand, they're not acting like a typical university, first couple of year university student, because they've never been allowed to. Because of all the COVID rules.
Oh, yeah, good, thank you.
Right, so there's all those societal ramifications that we're just gonna start seeing over the next while, right? Mm. So, but if nothing else, if you take nothing else out of this meeting, please take with the very clear understanding that I do not have any access to anything that you do not have access to.
Darn, I was hoping you did.
Like literally, even in the same timelines.
Is your deal with the NDP and the Greens, is that still in place?
We never had a deal with them.
When I talked to Sadie Hunter back in October when you guys were having your campaign, she said there was a three-way agreement essentially to not make this an issue and just essentially let Bonnie run the province.
No, there was an agreement that we would expedite dollars and things of that nature for COVID measures and COVID relief. And that we were trying to work as best as we could, three parties together. And the second John Horgan called a pandemic election a year early, year and a half early, year early, I guess, that deal was done. So Sadie may have thought that deal was still in place. It was not in place because of the exact election she was running in.
So is there any, replacement deal or replacement understanding?
No. And the only reason we, again, it was new, no one knew exactly what was happening, we knew there had to be some sort of a cohesive voice for public health and public good. It's kind of like everyone coming together and agreeing cancer's bad. But we didn't have a deal where they just got to do whatever they wanted, and it wasn't a deal that non-COVID things weren't going to be questioned. We were still questioning COVID-related measures and issues, but we were trying to keep public health decisions separate from political decisions, and we went after them on the political decisions. And that's what I'm saying. I have more issue with what they did politically from the start of COVID all the way through, and how they've basically tried to hide behind Bonnie Henry and COVID than what the public health side of the equation was doing. But that, yeah, if she characterized it as some deal, there was no deal. And it wasn't even a direct deal. Like, we never formally entered a deal. We just committed that we would work cooperatively on COVID-related public health urgent type things. But as soon as he called that election, that was it. He very much clearly signaled he was more interested in politics than public health.
He figured he'd win some more seats out of it.
And he did.
Okay.
He was sure it was political, and you know, that's the game we're in. But from that day on, that was it. We totally changed our tact and everything. So.
So I guess if these things do come back and say October, some whatever, I gotta be honest, I don't really want to do this anymore. So like, what alternatives are there?
I don't know. I don't really want to do it anymore either. So does no one else. And I think partly that's why you're seeing a lot of easing of restrictions everywhere. Right? I've heard that people talking about that, like pundits, because it's, you know, the recognition that if we do have to get back into something in September and October, if you don't give people a break between now and then, giving them a break now where it may not be as detrimental to the healthcare system and everything else. Let's face it, the bulk of this was about managing healthcare beds because we don't have enough. And the consequence of that is, you know, and that's going to have to get looked at over the next couple of years too, is the impact of all the canceled surgeries and quality of life issues that were totally non-COVID related that got canceled because we might have a spike in cases in the hospital, right? Not because we did, because we might. And so, you know, that's all going to have to get looked at with a critical eye as well in that handling of things. And
well, this is totally unrelated, but I've got some nieces and nephews in the schools, and let's just say some of the stuff which it looks like they're going to be coming into, it concerns me a little bit. This whole bringing the climate change into, like, this non-climate change nonsense into, like, the very, very young grades, trying to scare them.
Yeah.
Bring the whole, like, what amounts to critical race theory, the whole, like, gay and trans thing for, like, very young kids. Like, is there any way you guys can get that kind of stuff taken out? It's like,
no,
I mean, fashion, and I know they're just nieces and nephews. I'd prefer they just learn, like, basic stuff like reading and writing.
Yeah, part of it, my understanding, and I admittedly don't have a ton of insight into this, my understanding is it's more to do with curriculums get set, and then each individual teacher within certain parameters for that age group has certain areas that they can go into and not exceed, right? So some of it's just the individual delivery method or right? So,
but like, this is cruel, like telling like 5-year-olds, storms and bad weather is for the end humanity's life.
Yeah. So the level that they take it to sometimes is probably questionable, right? But that raises an interesting point. My daughter's a teacher for grade 3, and I should chat with her to see what they have for her.
And I know some there's more stuff supposed to be coming in, but it's like, I'm not sure what sway you have, but like I said, I'd rather have them reading and writing.
Yeah. Well. I don't think they even have to write anymore.
Good point. It's computers.
Yeah. Like literally, I don't think cursive is even taught anymore, or is it? A little bit.
My 11-year-old still was learning it.
Okay. Overachiever.
Get back to him.
Yeah, but sorry, we have to hit the road to barrier, so we're in a tighter timeline than normal for that. Yeah, but always,
I come back in 5-6. It's like, I'm done with it.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And. Basically, if someone puts a gun to my head, I'm not taking that damn shot.
Yeah.
Even if someone does.
Well, they say that everyone's coming out. The one that others were holding up waiting for. Novavax or whatever.
Oh, Pfizer released their side effects, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.